and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Big one coming up this weekend, and you will hear it here on The Zone Sports Network as Utah State will square off against Boise State. Both teams, Aggies coming in at 3-0. Boise State with two tough losses to two really good teams in Central Florida, as well as Oklahoma State. Their play-by-play voice, Bob Beeler, good friend of the station, kind enough to join us. Bob, how are you?
Doing good, Scotty. How are you today?
I'm good. We don't see Boise State at 1-2 very often, and I know the level of competition has been really high, but with a new head coach, what's the vibe in the community right now about this start?
Well, I think obviously when you're 1-2 for the first time since 05, I think, you know, everybody always overreacts early in the season. And I don't just mean in Boise, but anywhere across the country. If somebody's doing well, everybody's on the bandwagon. And if somebody has lost a couple tough ones, you know, people sometimes get a little concerned. But, Boise State has, always points for the conference season. This is the start of the conference play. As you mentioned, two extremely difficult teams to play in Oklahoma State and UCF. And, you know, you don't have to move more than one play or two plays in a game to change the outcome of both of them. So this team, I think, is very close. When I look at the thing that they need to do the most in this game or heading forward, Boise State's had trouble running the football so far this season, and they've had trouble stopping the run. And both of those things, as you guys know, sometimes make things very difficult for you to win games if you can't do either.
That's kind of where I wanted to start. What's been the biggest issue outside of those two things? Maybe you could emphasize those two things, but what are one or two other things that have been a big issue for Boise State in these losses?
To be honest, Hans, I don't know that I would put anything else on the list. I think it's 1A and 1B, and I don't think there's 2-3. I think it maybe goes down to 5. Hank Bachmeier had one interception at the end of the game that was costly, but for the most part, he's played really well. The pass game has looked good. They've done well for the most part against the pass. Special teams has been good. I know they missed one field goal, but the kid from Oklahoma State basically looked like Superman jumping up there to get a fingertip on it. I think everything else has gone very, very well for them. But as you know, stopping the run or running the ball, and we were arguing this week on the show, you know, if you could fix one of them, which one would you fix? And I'm on the side that I would rather try to work around not being able to run it, because you can't work around if you can't stop the run. If you are having trouble stopping the run, you need to, you know, the other team's going to keep running and running and running. So that's the thing I think they need to get fixed up first.
Seems like he's been with this program for a long time, and still he's only a junior, but Khalil Shakir is obviously certainly a special player. What kind of dynamics does he bring to this team and this offense, especially on the receiving end of a Hank Bachmeier pass?
Well, I think Shakir is just so versatile and so dynamic. He can catch it short. He can catch it over the middle. He can catch it long. They used him on punt returns when Cobbs was hurt last week. You just look at the numbers that he put out last year, 52 catches, the next closest had 20. And you look at the yards difference, and this is when they know it's coming. I think he is just, you know, we were talking the other day, too, about, you know, how good is he and where would he rank in Boise State's receiving? And I said, in the time I've been here, and I can't talk about people that I've not seen, but, I mean, Austin Pettis, Titus Young were two receivers that were here when I first got here that both played, you know, some in the NFL. Thomas Spurbeck had a ton of, you know, yards and catches. Matt Miller, career catch record. He's a coach now on the team. That's four guys. And then for just 2 years, I thought Cedric Wilson was as good as anybody at Boise State. So those are the five guys, in my opinion, that, you know, set the bar at wide receiver. All of them, based on different size and shapes, do some things better than the other one. But I think Khalil Shakir is right there. I would think he would be this year and done, but based on COVID, he could have another year to come back if he would want it. But I just think he's just so versatile, so smart, so good that, you know, I think he's their best offensive player.
Bob, when you guys are looking at the defense across the front and their second line of defense and their inability to stop the run, is it undersized defensive tackles? Is it undersized defensive linemen? Is it aggressiveness? I'm trying to think if Boise State has the gear to fix things or if something is kind of internally broken here.
Well, listening to them, they make it sound like it's like run fits and how they've looked at eyes or position things. Last week in the second half, they only allowed 2.2 yards a carry against Oklahoma State in the second half. Now, Wimpy was back in the middle of the defense. He was out the first half for targeting the week before. So I'll live with 2.2 yards a carry. I'll even go to the bank with 2.2 yards a carry if that's what I'm giving you to run the football. They gave up 7.8 per carry in the first half. So it isn't like they've not stopped the run. They had trouble stopping it in the first half against Oklahoma State. The big transfer from Northwestern was able to, you know, he's 250, 260 pounds. They had trouble with him really throughout the whole game down at UCF. I mean, he kind of got 4 or 5 yards, you know, whenever he kind of needed it. But it's been the bigger back, the power back, that's given them more problems. But, I mean, across the front, it's 260, 305, 295, and 270. So on the defensive line, hands, I don't think that's too small.
They are giving up 48% on third downs. Is that attributed to the being able to stay ahead of the chains by being able to run the ball, especially in that first half against Oklahoma State?
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the number from last year; they were number two in the country at 27%.
Yeah.
You know, basically, it's not quite, but almost double, you know, what it was last year, 27 to 49%. That's uncharacteristic, and that was the problem in the second half against Oklahoma State. The defense did not allow a point. You know, it was 21-20 at half, and that's how it finished. But the problem is they gave them enough first downs where they didn't get the ball back in good enough field position. So getting off the field on third downs, but I do think that's sort of a byproduct of, you know, giving them third and two to convert versus third and eight.
So, Bob, we're watching an interesting phenomenon here in the state of Utah, too, with the University of Utah losing two non-conference games for the first time since entering into the Pac-12. It just doesn't happen. And I kind of feel like they at least they should be a caged animal, kind of rattled up and ready to bite somebody after those losses. And having Washington State be their first conference opponent, you know, kind of expecting that this weekend. How rattled do you feel Boise State is? How rattled do you feel like the players are? And do you feel like this staff and do you feel like these leaders that you've watched for years kind of grow into these leadership roles, do you feel like they'll respond well to this adversity as they come into Logan?
I do, and I think that when you look at Boise State over the years, they make a point of really focusing in on the league. So I think you lose a couple of tough games. I think it's kind of a nice way to wipe the slate clean a little bit. I think that they've gone back to looking at, you know, what they're, you know, wanting to do on, you know, probably all three phases of the game, although I think for the most part special teams, you know, it's been pretty good for them this year. I don't think it's been a real negative. So I do think that this team is ready to break out, and I think that, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge. I think Utah State really presents some problems, especially from the offensive side with the, you know, they use two quarterbacks that seem to both bring something different to the table. I think the two receivers that you guys have in Tompkins and Bowling really look like they complement each other extremely, extremely well. So I think, you know, especially from the defensive side, you know, I do think they're going to have a challenge, but I do think that they're going to respond. I mean, this team is used to winning. I mean, we had, a couple years ago, they started in Harsin's first year. They started 3-2, and then, you know, had it a long winning streak. They rattled off and went to the Fiesta Bowl. The last time they were 1-2 was 2005, and they ended up winning 7 in a row, winning 9 for the season, and winning the league. So, you know, I think confidence is still high heading into this game.
You know, back to the some of the issues they've had running the football. I mean, George Helani, I mean, that's a 1,000-yard rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, these you got running backs there that have had a resume of being able to produce yards. Is there some concern with the offensive line, or does that go back maybe to the level of competition that they're going up against?
Well, I think maybe a little of that, because I do think that the two teams that beat them are pretty good, but they really have not had their full complement of what was expected to be the starter. They haven't had Kekani Okoa Holomalia Gonzalez at all this season at center. He was supposed to be the starting center. They've had mix and matching at the guard spots where they've used, you know, three different people at guards, and they've even flipped them from left to right during one of the games. And then, you know, when there was an injury, and then the next week, because there was still an injury, they ended up flipping the two guards again. So I don't think they've had the continuity in the offensive line that, you know, maybe they would like. Jake Stets did come back last week. He was the guard that got hurt against UCF. So, you know, maybe that line with another week working together will be there. George Helani is coming off an injury, and they're very guarded about things, but it seems like because they talked about conditioning and that he's not able to have been going that many plays the last week or so. So I think that, you know, to be a 1,000-yard rusher, you're probably going to have to take 20 carries a game, and he hasn't been in that stage yet. Habibi Leikio's taken some carries, so has Van Buren. But, you know, Helani, to me, of the three, is the guy that can change direction and make people miss. And you know, I think he's your all-purpose back to me. And, you know, if he can get healthy, I think that'll go a long way, or in shape or whatever the definition is. I think it'll go a long way to help fix the running game.
Do you feel like there's some stability coming with that offensive line this week against Utah State, or are they still dealing with some injuries there?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if Harrington goes again for Holomalia Gonzalez, it'd be the fourth week in a row that he's gone, so you'd like to think there's more familiarity there. And then, you know, I would think the more you have the same people playing, if the best guys are healthy and able to play more, I think that's certainly got to be a help. You know, they're very guarded. I don't know whether Holomalia Gonzalez is going to be able to play this week or not. I would think that if it's Harrington in there, I would think they'll be better off for having played three games with basically this core than if they had, you know, had a first time where somebody was in.
Bob, as you were watching the Big 12 thing unfold and you saw the openings and then you heard that they were going to try to retain and maintain and then rebuild, how likely did Boise State feel like they would get that invite? How upset were they that they didn't? And then if you could, I'd like to know if Boise State would ever be interested in leaving the Mountain West Conference for the AAC, or how interested they might be in doing that.
Well, I've not asked anybody there, so everything would be what I would think or what my opinion would be. I'm sure that, you know, from talking to people, I think people would have liked to have had the invite to the Big 12. I think that's fair. But when you look at the four places that got in, all four had major markets: Salt Lake, Orlando, Houston, Cincinnati, way more eyeballs than Boise State. So I think it's understandable why they went to those four. Now, whether there's going to be another round and there's going to be two more or four more or no more, you know, that remains to be seen. For me personally, I don't know that I would be interested in going to the AAC, because I think what's left of it isn't as good as the Mountain West. And I don't know really why you would want to traipse your, you know, other sport teams across the country to play. I wouldn't, but then that's me. If I was sitting in the chair making a decision for me, I wouldn't be interested, but I don't know. The things change, it seems, quickly. And, you know, who knows what, you know, what's being discussed or what's being talked about or whatever. But I think the Mountain West this year is as good as it's been. I think you guys are up down there at Utah State. I think Fresno is really good. San Diego looks like they should be pretty good. You know, and sometimes when you have that, you end up, you know, everybody knocks everybody else off. I think Nevada's got one of their better. They probably have their best team since the Kaepernick years. So, you know, I think the league's got a pretty good year going so far.
You know, it's interesting. Utah State and Boise State, and I believe it's the two schools, and you're hard-pressed to find a bigger discrepancy in conference schedules than what Utah State deals with. I mean, the Aggies over the last 2 years have been dealing with San Diego State, Nevada, and Fresno. Well, yeah, this year on the rotation, they drop off, so the Aggies don't have to play those three teams, and they pick up UNLV, Hawaii, and San Jose State. And I know San Jose's good again. But and then I think Boise State just flip-flopped that. You drop off those three and pick up the tough three, I think the conference needs to address that a little bit. Now, it's working in Utah State's favor this year, but, I mean, that's a wide discrepancy in talent that you're playing there.
Yeah, and I don't know how it ever got, because it's been the rotation the way it's been since Boise State and Utah State have been in the league. More years than not, if you said who's a top three team in the West Division and who's a bottom three team, you'd have the three that they have paired together: Fresno, San Diego, and Nevada. More often than not, have been in the top three, and more often than not, San Jose, Hawaii, and UNLV have been the bottom three. I agree with you. I don't understand how they came up with the, you know, the rotation of how, you know, who's on for 2 years and who's off. You know, if you want to make it a lot, maybe you wouldn't see somebody for 4 years, but maybe I understand you want to play a home and away. Maybe after the 4 year home and away rotation, you shake the teams up again, and maybe you play somebody, end up playing somebody 4 years in a row. You don't see somebody for, you know, total of 4 years or something. But I think who you play in the crossover can have a lot to do with who wins a given division. The one thing, though, that is for sure, if you lose, if you do not lose a division game, if you can go clean in the division at 5-0, you would win all tiebreakers for the division. So you would have to lose two games out of the conference of the three games. If you just lost one, you tie everybody else in the division if you've knocked everybody else off. So to me, it makes this game and any game in the division worth way more, because if it's a tie and Utah State beats Boise State, then Boise State has to do better against their side of the West than Utah State would, and Utah State would have to do the same thing if Boise State would win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, if Utah State were to find a way to win this game, it certainly puts them in the driver's mm-hmm. seat for the division, just based on the rest of the schedules that
sure.
You've got
two division wins already, Scott. You'd
exactly,
also have two.
Yep. So, you know, I mean,
and Air Force will beat people. You know that. You know they'll win some games.
Yeah, Air Force, mm-hmm. that's a really good team. That's still
well,
a really
it's also
team.
A tricky team. You know, yeah. It's a tricky team.
Not fun to play, that's for sure. Just talking to those coaches, they're like, yeah, we understand it's kind of out of the frying pan and into the fire with Boise State, but still, it's fun not to have to worry about the triple option going into this week, for sure. Yeah. So,
and I think that when you look at what they and what Navy and what Air Force have done, I think they make it very difficult for teams to face them on a one-shot basis.
Yep.
You know, if that's the only team that looks like that, you're going to see in 12. You know, if you play something similar, like 1 year when I was at UMass, between the end of one season and the beginning of another, we played both Army at the end of one season, Navy towards the beginning of one season, and somebody else ran something similar. So in four games, we played three games that were against similar option-based teams. We got better at it as they did it more.
Bob, always a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks for your time. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, bright and early tomorrow morning. And I'll buy you breakfast at the press box. How about that?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Thanks, Bob. It's going to be a good one.
That's Bob Beeler, play-by-play voice of Boise State, right here on the Zone Sports Network.